President Stacey.
Here.
Vice President Arce.
Here.
Commissioner Jamdar.
Present.
Commissioner Leveroni.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Before calling the first item, I'd like to announce that the San Francisco Public Utility Commission acknowledges that it owns and are stewards of the unceded lands located within the ethno-historic territory of the Muwekma Ohlone tribe and other familial descendants of the historic federally recognized Mission San Jose Verona Band of Alameda County. The SFPUC also recognizes that every citizen residing within the Greater Bay Area has and continues to benefit from the use and occupation of the Muwekma Ohlone tribe's Aboriginal lands, since before and after the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission's founding in 1932. It is vitally important that we not only recognize the history of the tribal lands on which we reside, but also we acknowledge and honor the fact that the Muwekma Ohlone people have established a working partnership with the SFPUC and are productive and flourishing members within the many Greater Bay, San Francisco Bay Area communities today. Thank you. Next item.
Item 3, approval of the minutes of March 11, 2025.
Does anybody have any comments or corrections on the minutes, commissioners?
No.
Seeing none, public comment, please.
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item number 3. Are there any members of the public present who wish to provide comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Commissioners, could I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
President Stacey?
Aye.
Vice President Arce?
Aye.
Commissioner Jamdar?
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni?
Aye.
The item passes.
Thank you.
Item 4, general public comment. Members of the public may address the commission on matters that are within the commission's jurisdiction and are not on today's agenda.
And I'd like to note that the commission values civic engagement and encourages respectful communication at the public meeting. We ask that all public comment be made in a civil and courteous manner and that you refrain from the use of profanity. Thank you.
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 4. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Mr. DaCosta?
I would like to make an announcement on the Muwekma Ohlone. They're going to exercise their right of first refusal on the presidio. It's good for y'all to know that that will send a signal to the city and county of San Francisco, not only to pay some lip service by these words, but to really acknowledge the Muwekma Ohlone. Having said that, I want to know what standards you commissioners are going to look at when it comes to the Clean Water Act. We are the laughing stock of the nation because we went against the Environmental Protection Agency. We now have a clown in Washington, D.C. that is decimating everything. It's more or less like what you commissioners agreed to do by challenging the Environmental Protection Agency. So I want to see what type of standards you have to maintain our bay, our watershed, and Hetch Hetchy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any callers with their hand raised, moderator?
Ms. Lanier, there are two callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Caller, I've unmuted your line. You have 2 minutes.
Hello, this is Peter Dreckmeyer, Policy Director for the Tuolumne River Trust. I want to encourage the commission to pay very close attention to the process leading up to the 2025 Urban Water Management Plan. The plan will be due at the end of June next year, 2026, which means we have plenty of time to do it right. And what's really, really important is that the SFPUC produce a sensitivity analysis looking at population and job projections and demand projections. And it's very unfortunate that staff is planning to do that just in time to miss the deadline for the urban water management plan. So none of that information would be able to be included. So we really need to get started on that sooner. What happened last time around in 2021 is we put a lot of time into it. We made a lot of recommendations. We asked for a workshop in time to get information into the urban water management plan. The workshop didn't happen until July 16th, 2 weeks after the plan had been submitted. But we got a lot of good information at that workshop. One was staff acknowledged that the numbers in the urban water management plan are not actually demand projections. They're more of an outside envelope. And Commissioner Moran at the time requested that the commission be given information about the differences between Department of Finance and Plan Bay Area population projections and what those differences really are. And within that, what portion of that reflects legal mandates, such as affordable housing targets, and what is more aspirational. It took 9 months to get that report. It was buried in the correspondence log. It was two paragraphs and then two attachments. That issue's never been addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, caller, for your comments. Caller, I've unmuted your line. You have 2 minutes.
Eileen Boken, Coalition for San Francisco Neighborhoods, speaking on my own behalf. The following are excerpts from my public comment at the Capital Planning Committee on February 10th of this year. In 2018, it was reported that a Management Oversight Committee, or MOC, was formed on an ad hoc basis to decide which ESER bond projects were to be funded, especially on AWAS. In 2018, the members of the MOC were the PUC GM, the director of DPW, the fire chief, and the PUC AGM for water. Two of those members are now in federal detention. In 2018, the MOC had no noticing or posted meetings, were not open to the public, had no set location, no agendas, no minutes, no public comment, and was not bound by the rules of other committees and commissions. It's my understanding that the MOC will begin to meet again. Based on Mayor Lurie's commitment to transparency, accountability, and anti-corruption, I would strongly urge the Capital Planning Committee and the MOC members to implement the following, and there was a list. Since the CPC meeting, the MOC has held at least one meeting. The PUC Director of Water Capital Programs has stated that the City Attorney's Office has determined that the MOC is not subject to Sunshine Rules, but has failed to provide the required name of the Deputy City Attorney who made that determination and has a written copy of it. Since ESER bonds will eventually go before the voters, a transparent MOC process is in everyone's best interest. Thank you.
Thank you, caller, for your comments. Ms. Lanier, there are no more callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you. Item 5, report of the general manager.
Thank you, Ms. Lanier. Item 5A is a wastewater enterprise quarterly report, including Southeast Area Major Projects Update. Bessie Tam will be presenting.
Good afternoon, Commissioners and President Stacy. This is Bessie Tam, Wastewater Enterprise Capital Programs Director. Today, I'm here to present the Q2 fiscal year 24-25 quarterly report. May I have the slides, please? Thank you. So this is a photo of the BDFP biodigester facility project and the concrete placement for part of the pad, concrete pad for the thermal hydrolysis process facility. The rings that you see here in the various square plates are templates holding the anchor bolt together, and the setting of the bolts is critical for the proper placement of the, again, that thermal hydrolysis process tanks and pipe bridge. So just a fun photo that I want to share this progress with you. In this slide, we want to show you some of the construction updates that has been happening in the program in the last quarter. I'm going to start from left to right. The project on the left is these various location sewer replacement on Golden Gate Avenue. And what you see here is what we call a cure-in-place liner. So it's a trenchless work where we essentially kind of open up to two manholes and we put almost like an inverted sock in to line the pipe. And we put hot water in it, and it expands and gives the life, the pipe a new life. And this is a fun one because this happened one block from headquarters, from 525 Golden Gate. This is at Golden Gate between Polk and Larkin. The contractor, in about the span of four working days, was able to line up over 400 feet of the pipe. So this is some of the work that we're doing to expedite work and minimize disruption to the public. On the second photo is the first of four contracts for our Folsom Area Stormwater Improvement Project. This is an open cut sewer replacement. What you see here is a 60-inch reinforced concrete pipe. And we need to do open cut here because we're enlarging the pipe, right? We cannot just line it because we need more capacity. And this work happened on 11th Street between Folsom and Harrison. This first contract is over 50%, almost 62% complete at this time, and we're looking forward to that work continuing. The last photo on the right is our West Side Pump Station Reliability Improvement Project on the west side of our city. This is a photo of Power Enterprise testing the new interrupter switch assembly, and PG&E subsequently energized our new primary power to the new electrical building. So getting the PG&E power to this facility took a lot of effort from the project team in collaboration with our sister with Power Enterprise as well. It's a huge milestone in the progress of this construction project. Here is an overview of the SSIP Phase 1 status. So we are still maintaining 70 projects at the $4.7 billion approved program budget. What you see here is a shifting of one of the projects from design into what we call multi-phase. And that project is our wastewater facility-wide distributed control system, our DCS. That project is actually a design-build project, so essentially we are just shifting that into it's a design-build into a multi-phase category. In the sewer system improvement program status cost summary, what you see here is a couple of variances in this quarter. The main variance on the treatment facilities is attributed to the BDFP, BDFP and biogas project, where the BDFP project includes the biogas project. And that project, as you know, for the biogas utilization, we shifted from the P3 delivery into a design build delivery. So that project estimated budget currently is at $164.5 million. So you can see that is reflected here. In terms of the forecast. The other major variance is on the flood resilient projects at the $44 million. And that one is our Lower Alamany Area Stormwater Improvement Project. For that project, the cost variance is reflecting the latest engineer's estimate and 95% design. And a lot of that is due to the complexities of coordinating with third-party entities where we need to get approval for the project. Including Caltrans. So we've been going through a very robust design review process with Caltrans in order to get staging area and other considerations so we can proceed with the work there. So what you see here is a reflection of both the design impact as well as how it reflects into the construction cost, right? And I can talk a little bit more about that if needed. When you see the overall program total, the numbers are a little bit different from the top. It's just how the projects are categorized. If you look closely in the report, there are four projects that are forecasting a difference in budget. One is BDFP biogas. The second one is the Lower Alamany Area Stormwater Improvement Project. The third one is Seacliff Pump Station Number 2, which is forecasting a slightly higher budget. The fourth one is Oceanside plant digester gas utilization. For Seacliff number 2 and Oceanside, the third and fourth project, we actually offset that increase with decreases in cost savings in other projects that have been completed. So what you see here is mostly because of the forecast for the BDFP and also for the Lower Alamany Sewer Improvement Project. For the facility and infrastructure status and cost summary, there is no variance in this report. Typically, in this slide, we offer a nice photo. I'm happy to report we have achieved so many milestones, over 20 milestones in this last quarter, that we had to use up the whole page. So you can see here that these are all the milestones that we have accomplished in this past quarter. So lots of progress that the project teams have been working very hard on to get here today. And then here's an update on the Southeast Plant Biosolids Digester Facility Project, our BDFP project. You can see here, again, we're showing this forecast of the delta due to the biogas utilization and the project forecast, the impact from that project, that component of this project. Overall, you can see the progress and status here. We are making really good progress. Construction as of this quarter is over 80% complete. The overall project status is over 60% complete. So construction is moving along very nicely. And then last but not least is our Southeast Plant New Headworks Facility Project. This one is, we are moving towards substantial completion, and there is no change in the project forecast. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions that you have.
Thank you so much for the report. There is a lot going on. Commissioners, comments or questions? No. I had just a question on the brick sewer improvements. So the brick sewers, they stay in place, and you're just lining them.
That's correct.
Is that right? And do you ever repair the bricks themselves, or have they stayed pretty stable?
It depends on the level of deterioration. Mm-hmm. So the project teams, they do an investigation condition, as they inspect the pipe to determine if it's even lineable. And when the contractor comes in, they will do that again. Sometimes the contractor does need to enter the sewer and patch it up to a certain extent before they line it, because if there's a void, they cannot do it, mm-hmm. right? So it depends on, again, how substantial and where the failure is. So if it's at the crown or the top of the pipe, then again, they need to do some other intervention. And there are times when that does not work, and they will change a different method, which is allowed. They will have to collaborate with the project team. But most of the time, we do the investigation before we even put out the contract. So there's a high level of certainty before we determine the method of rehab.
Great. I know it's a lot of detail. I was just interested in sort of their state. And I will guess that they're fairly old. Is that right? If they're made of brick?
Yes. Yeah, most of our brick sewers are constructed, in the 1900s. Mm-hmm. Some of them, is even older. According to our system, sometimes we default to like 1898 or 18. I will have to check with the engineer when we know that it's older than 1900. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I thank you.
Thank you. And I also noticed in your report that there is some performance testing going on at the Headworks facility.
Yes.
Do you have any feedback from the performance testing so far?
I do not. I would have to get back to you.
That's okay. I was just interested to hear how it was going, but we can get a report in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Public comment, please.
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 5A. Are there any members of the public present who wish to provide comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes my report, Madam President.
Thank you. Please read the next item.
Item 6, Bay Area Water Supply and Conservation Agency report.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, President Stacey and commissioners. Last Thursday, the board of directors of our organization, BOSCA, held its regularly scheduled meeting. As you know, BOSCA was created in 2003 to represent the interests of 24 cities and two private water companies in Alameda, Santa Clara, and San Mateo counties that purchase water on a wholesale basis from the San Francisco Regional Water System. During the meeting last Thursday, Board Chair Chambers made some comments that are important for me to relay. Specifically, Chair Chambers remarked that it was timely to remind the full board of BOSCA's position on Bay Delta matters, particularly as it relates to ongoing litigation and the regulatory process at the State Water Board. In 2018, the State Water Board adopted phase one of the Bay Delta Plan, which, if implemented, severely restricts flows that can be used for water supply purposes during droughts from the Tuolumne River, which is the source of 85% of the water for the system. Soon thereafter, as encouraged by the State Board in its adoption of phase one, this commission and its Tuolumne River partners came forward with the Tuolumne River Voluntary Agreement, which proposes that a combination of river flows, river operations, and habitat enhancements could provide better results for species protection with less impact to water supplies. In January of 2021, Barbara Pierce, then BOSCA's board chair, publicly stated BOSCA's clear and sensible request that the TRVA should be evaluated by the State Water Board to determine whether it was indeed equal to or better than the adopted Bay Delta Plan in terms of the state's environmental objectives, while maintaining a reliable supply of water at a fair price for the water customers that BOSCA represents. That evaluation of the TRVA, now called the Tuolumne River Healthy Rivers and Landscape Agreement, has been taking place since 2023. BOSCA's stance on evaluation of the healthy rivers and landscapes is consistent with its mandate from the California legislature to protect the water supply needs of BOSCA members. A reliable supply of high quality water at a fair price is BOSCA's goal, as it has been for more than 20 years. In accordance with the same state legislative mandate, BOSCA took legal action in 2018 to intervene in San Francisco and its Tuolumne River partners lawsuit challenging the adopted 2018 Phase 1 Bay Delta Plan. BOSCA's vote on this matter was unanimous, and the intention of the BOSCA board to protect the region's water supply was clear and remains unchanged. Now, evaluation of the Tuolumne River Healthy Rivers and Landscape Program started in 2023, as I mentioned. Progress appears delayed as a scheduled release of the scientific basis report that was expected in 2024 has not been published. BOSCA urges the SFPUC to continue to work with the state to ensure the fair and timely evaluation of the Tuolumne River Healthy Rivers and Landscape Program. This ends my prepared remarks. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, comments or questions? Oh, Commissioner Arce.
I hit the wrong button. Thanks, President Stacey, and thanks, Tom, for the report. I'm kind of find myself thinking aloud and maybe question to General Manager Herrera. What are our thoughts on the urging component from the BOSCA board in terms of the urging of the alignment around the plan? What's something that we can collectively share with Tom to take back to his board?
We're already doing that, and we share that information with BOSCA about what we're up to in terms of our operation. We just recently sent a letter with our Tuolumne River partners to the governor's office, so we're doing that.
So it's something along the lines of thanking your board for the presentation and reassuring that both from the leadership level and at the commission we're in alignment around addressing the underlying concern.
We communicate through Tom. Are you asking me to write a letter to their board? Is that
no, what no, me? Not at all. I'm just saying, since Tom has shared a message with the four commissioners from his board, and in a desire not to get ahead of agency leadership on what we might communicate in response, to at least equip Tom with the knowledge that the commission has heard him and heard the message, and in response we said something that I would like to align with you and the agency around. You're at the staff level, from what you're saying. You're in the regular communication, obviously, but just as commissioners and hearing the message here today, I'd like to say something, at least individually, and maybe my colleagues as well, that Tom can carry back to his board that he got from the commission, and making sure it aligns with staff and with you as the head of the agency.
Yeah, I mean, you have your opportunity here to say whatever you'd like to Tom, and I have no problem with that. I mean, we're in alignment at our level.
Thank you, General Manager Herrera. Tom, can you communicate back to the Bosca board that we appreciate the message and we're in alignment with the message?
I will. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Vice President Arce. Any other comments from commissioners or questions? Could we take public comment, please? Thank you.
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 6. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there's one caller that wishes to be recognized.
Thank you.
Caller, I have unmuted your line. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Peter Dreckmeyer, Tuolumne River Trust. The BOSC board never had a public discussion or public vote on opposing the Bay Delta plan, which I think is problematic. And they never voted on supporting the Tuolumne River Voluntary Agreement. So Mr. Smigel's report is disappointing to me. However, I will give him some credit because I do see the Bosca board waking up, and last Thursday they were very engaged. There was a lot of discussion about demand projections and rates. The board member from Stanford pointed out that over the past 25 years, they've added 2 million square feet of development and their water demand has gone down. And it was announced there was going to be a workshop in May, which is a great idea. I hope we'll be invited to present. I think the SFPUC is long overdue for a workshop. Bosca did a really good thing in 2022. They updated their demand projections and they did a sensitivity analysis that's going to be updated by December. And so the biggest challenge with demand projections really is the wholesale customers. There's a lot of them and they use different methodologies. So basically the SFPUC is going to be handed all this information and it'd be very, very easy to turn it into information that can be used in the urban water management plan. Instead of just looking at the outside envelope, have a sensitivity analysis and looking at the different bookends. So you'll be hearing a lot from me in the coming months. I'm going to send you a lot of background information. One of our challenges is that once commissioners come up to speed, they get replaced. And sometimes if they're a little bit too assertive, they get replaced. So I will try not to overwhelm you, but I will be sending you a lot of background information. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Ms. Lanier, there are no more callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you. Item 7 is the consent calendar.
Commissioners, do you have any comments or questions on the consent calendar, 7A and 7B?
Yes, President Stacey. Uh-huh. Just if I can get a little clarification on the two contracts and then the data-driven portion of these contracts. What actually is the data portion that is valuable to us and that we need to continue on? Just I wasn't clear on the two contracts and the difference between the two.
Commissioner Leveroni, I think you might be asking about items 8 and 9.
Yes,
those two. We're still on item 7.
Okay, no questions.
The consent 7. Calendar.
No questions.
Okay, I'll circle back with you. Thank you. I had a couple of detailed questions on one on 7A and one on 7B. I noticed in 7A that the type of resin used had been changed because of community impacts. What were the nature of the community impacts? Were they air quality impacts or byproduct impacts?
Question, Stephen Robinson, AGM for infrastructure. I'll hand it over in a second, but just quickly, odor. Uh-huh. Is the primary concern, not to steal all the thunder of the response, but that's the main concern, the way we want to pivot and use a different material to help community impacts.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Hi, Commissioners. Ming Yi with SFPUC, project manager for this project, Hayes Valley Sewer Improvements. So what Steve mentioned was odors. Mm-hmm. When the resin, what we're doing is the brick sewers that Bessie mentioned, we're rehabilitating them. And the resin that we use do have odors. Mm-hmm. It takes 4 days. So at the beginning, when we offload the truck, there is like a distinct smell. And the smell, the threshold for it is very low. So, you know, the community is wondering, what is that smell, right? So we have done a lot of outreach and mitigation, but some of the areas that we're in, right, narrow streets, like one of the street on this project is Hayes Valley, where all the merchants are and restaurants. Sometimes it's just, we have done all we can to mitigate. And one of the things is wind would be a mitigation, but it would be impacting maybe downstream of wherever the wind would dissipate it for.
I see. Thank you for that detail. And then on 7B, I just wanted to make sure I understood that this payment that the SFPUC is making now arises out of a settlement and a dispute as to who's responsible. But in the future, it will be San Mateo and San Bruno who would absorb all of the costs unless somehow the PUC were responsible.
Thanks for that question. This is Mary Tinkin, project manager for the project that we're discussing today. It was not a formal legal settlement associated with the agreement that was attached to the agenda item. Mm-hmm. It was a negotiation based upon the PUC's interests balanced with the two sister agencies, San Bruno and San Mateo County. And so in the future, San Bruno has agreed to own and maintain the pipeline that's being replaced by this project that damaged the easement adjacent to San Andreas pipeline number 2 and 3.
Okay, so my understanding is that going forward, we won't have this same kind of dispute because San Mateo and San Bruno have accepted different kinds of responsibility, but responsibility nevertheless for moving forward.
Correct. They okay. have negotiated an easement between the two of them that clarifies the responsibilities for this infrastructure that crosses our easement.
Thank you. That's great. Should we take public comment, Ms. Lanier?
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on consent calendar item 7. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, could I have a motion and a second on the consent calendar?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Thank you.
President Stacey?
Aye.
Vice President Arce?
Aye.
Commissioner Jamdar?
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni?
Aye.
The item passes.
Thank you. Next item.
Agenda item numbers 8 and 9 will be presented together and voted on separately. Item 8, award PRO.0297 SFPUC Customer Administrative Services Community Choice Aggregation Program to Calpine Community Energy. And item 9 is approve amendment number 5 to contract number CS-247R Customer and Administrative Services for Community Choice Aggregation Program with Calpine Energy Solutions.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Andrew Bevington, Supervisor for the Clean Power SF Customer Solutions Team in Power Enterprise. We have two items before you today. First, to award PRO 0297, the contract to provide Clean Power SF billing and data services, which is the successor to CS-247. And second, to approve a 3-month extension for contract CS-247, our existing Clean Power SF billing and data services contract, in order to bridge the gap to the notice to proceed on Pro.0297 and ensure there are no gaps in this critical service while we obtain all approvals. Pro.0297 provides essential back office services to support Clean Power SF, including electronically transferring data from and to PG&E to ensure that our Clean Power SF charges are accurately calculated and placed on customer bills, making it possible to transfer our Clean Power SF revenue from PG&E to us. As folks know, as a CCA, under state law, PG&E remains responsible for billing and receiving payment from our customers. Managing our voluminous customer meter data and providing systems that support our SFPUC customer service center. And as our billing provider, helping our staff to deliver complementary programs that rely on or are integrated with customer billing, such as net energy metering for customers with rooftop solar, in order to create the best possible experience. Pro.0297 was advertised on June 12, 2024, with proposals due by August 15th. Two qualifying bidders submitted proposals. In the evaluation process, Calpine Community Energy, the same contractor who provides these services under CS-247, received the highest score. Negotiations on the new contract consumed several months, but we are now ready to proceed with the final contract award. However, we find ourselves coming up on the end of our previous contract, which expires at the end of April. To ensure we do not see a gap in service while we complete the new contract award, including obtaining approval from the Board of Supervisors and Mayor, we are also requesting a 3-month extension to the existing agreement, CS-247. I ask you for your support of both items, the award of Pro.0297 and the extension of CS-247. And of course, I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you very much. And Commissioner Leveroni, I know you had one, so.
Thank you. Commissioner Leveroni.
Actually, you did, in your explanation here, hit upon it, so I should have waited. On the contracts, so the second contract is an extension to make sure that there's no lapse.
Exactly. We don't want to be in a situation where we're seeing a gap where we're still waiting for Board of Supervisors approval or something, you know. And because this service is pretty essential to make sure that Clean Power SF continues to receive revenue, we really don't want to see any sort of gap in service.
Okay. And may not be aware of the issue we had with the water billing. So is this a billing system also that's upgraded to where there shouldn't, I haven't ever heard of any energy issues, but with billing, is this a system that's going to improve what is currently in place?
I don't think it will be necessarily an improvement on what's currently in place. The way we work with Calpine is, you know, once we set rates, Calpine kind of bills our customers based on the usage data that we get from PG&E on how much energy they're using. So there's always improvements we can make, of course, in like how we deliver our rate changes to them, making sure that, you know, everything is delivered smoothly, things like that. But that's not built into this contract directly.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. I feel like I'm missing something. These, item number 9 is an amendment to an existing contract with Calpine. And in the agenda item, the activities sounded very similar to me. Mm-hmm. And I think what you've just told us is that item 8 is the new contract
exactly.
to pick up what Calpine is already doing under the contract in item 9.
Yep.
So item 9, the extension was necessary just to make sure we didn't have any gaps. And item 8 will start a new contract
exactly.
to do the same thing. Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take public comment. Thank you for the explanations.
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item numbers 8 and or 9. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we should vote separately on items 8 and 9. So could I first have a motion, commissioners, and a second to approve item 8?
Motion to approve item 8.
Seconded.
Thank you.
President Stacey?
Aye.
Vice President Arce?
Aye.
Commissioner Jamdar?
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni?
Aye.
Item 8 passes.
Thank you. And now could I have a motion and a second to approve item 9?
Motion to approve item 9.
Second.
Thank you.
President Stacey?
Aye.
Vice President Arce?
Aye.
Commissioner Jamdar?
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni?
Aye.
Item 9 passes.
Thank you.
Item 10, approve amendment number 1 to contract number PRO.0168A, engineering services for transmission pipelines, PRO.0168A, engineering services for transmission pipelines with ACOM Technical Services Incorporated.
Good afternoon.
May I please have the slides? Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Tedman Lee. I'm with the SFPUC. This afternoon, I'm here to ask for approval of Amendment 1 to contract number PRO-168A, Engineering Services for Transmission Pipelines. So our transmission pipelines vary in age from 5 years to over 80 years. So we advertised PRO-168A and B in late 2020 to support transmission pipeline projects from Hetch Hetchy Reservoir down to the city. PRO-168A covers the facilities shown here, all of the Hetchy transmission pipeline facilities east of Tesla Portal. By resolution 210117, the commission awarded PRO-168A to AECOM Technical Services, Inc. The original contract is a $7 million, 8-year pool contract where we list the selection of predetermined projects that this contract will support. So this type of contract provides flexibility in professional service, support through project planning, design, and then into engineering support during construction. So the primary role of the consultant is to provide planning and engineering services for our large diameter transmission pipelines, focusing on specialized engineering work, such as geotechnical, surveying, seismic studies, and trenchless design. For this contract, we assumed a split with infrastructure staff performing a majority of the design work and the consultant performing specialized services. So at the time of advertisement, the capital plan had a budget of $299.4 million for these 11 projects listed on the left. Since then, we've completed condition assessment, planning, and started design and construction on several of these facilities. The latest capital plan has budgeted $670.3 million for these projects, so 120% plus increase. This table shows three projects in PRO-168A in the left column, the current phase of each of these projects, the current contract budget, and our proposed Amendment 1 modifications on the right. We funded task orders under this contract based on project criticality and priority. We did not assign set-asides for each of the 11 projects, as we didn't really know the condition of them prior to any kind of condition assessment work. Now that we know more, Amendment 1, which is on the right side of the column, asks for an additional $7 million with no additional time to continue planning and engineering design and ESDC for these projects, the San Joaquin Pipeline Valve and Safe Entry, Moccasin Powerhouse Bypass, and Moccasin Penstock Rehabilitation. It's a significant increase to this contract, but it's an intentional evolution because we assign these things based on project criticality and priority and not so much the set-asides. So I'll now review each of these projects to share some more specifics. This is a San Joaquin Pipeline Valve and Safe Entry. We are looking to add isolation valves along the 50-mile San Joaquin Pipeline alignment to provide safe entry. The capital plan had increased from $75 million to $158 million due to adding additional valves to the project. And this project was also split into six phases, five contracts over four shutdown periods. So a lot of very complicated and a lot of coordination required. The left picture shows a removable spool piece in a concrete vault. So when we have a shutdown, this little piece of pipe can be pulled out of the ground
and therefore it provides an air gap so the water doesn't overwhelm the people working downstream in the pipe. The right side shows our new search shaft at Tesla Portal that was just constructed in February. For a Moccasin Powerhouse bypass upgrade, we're building a new bypass pipeline that simulates the head loss of the power turbines so we can take the powerhouse out of service for maintenance without stopping water delivery. The left side picture shows a rendering of the existing pipeline system and the new bypass system. So on the very left side of the rendering, you can see kind of bending out to the left, we have two 48-inch twin pipelines that break out. Then they converge back into a 6-foot by 6-foot concrete box, a concrete conduit, and that piece discharges into the tail race or the end point of the powerhouse. So what happens is when the water comes through, it goes through the turbines, it loses power because it's generating power, it loses head to generate power. So this system on the left simulates that so we can continue water deliveries. So the water kind of at the tail race doesn't even know if it's gone through the bypass or gone through the turbines. So we don't have to stop deliveries. We can just shut down the powerhouse and do maintenance on it. That's kind of the reason for the project. And that part was ad-libbed. Okay. For Moccasin Penstock Rehab, initially $47 million, but now $331 million in the latest capital plan. The $47 million was based on rehabilitation of the existing penstock system, but then we performed condition assessment on those penstocks, and we now know we need to build a replacement penstock. So we're asking for funding to finish alternative analysis for geotechnical investigations so we can gather information to bring the best alternative to conceptual engineering. Okay, again, this is the same slide as earlier that shows our proposed amendment on the right, $7 million. Beyond this amendment, we anticipate that we will need to find other contracting capacity to do the other projects in this contract. It could be utilizing as needed engineering agreements for smaller efforts or maybe new RFPs for projects that we can break out and then they become very large projects. We'll break those out into new RFPs. From a funding perspective, you know, as these projects move through condition assessment into planning to design construction, and as we learn more, these updated scopes and budgets will be taken into consideration in the 10-year capital planning and budget process. Okay, that concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much. Commissioners, questions, comments? Commissioner Leveroni.
Clarification. So on your $299.4 million to the $670.3 million, what we're looking at now with this $7 million increase is it to confirm that 120% increase or just getting it a little bit tighter? And then the same question would apply to the the penstocks. You know, we kind of knew that it might be going to $331 million, and that might not be, you know, where we want it to go, and looking for better ways to do it if there is. So that's where the $7 million additional is coming in, is all analysis to try to firm up numbers.
For the penstocks.
Yeah,
asking for 4.3 as part of the 7 million.
Okay, right. It was part of the 7 million.
Thank you. So the planning piece is 4.3 million on the lower right.
Okay.
And that 4.3 is part of the 7, and it's to do the alternative analysis, the geotechnical investigations, which then give us better data so that we can decide how expensive a tunnel might be or a buried pipeline might be, so we can bring the best alternative forward to the conceptual engineering phase.
Okay.
So without the additional geotech, it's sort of anybody's guess, and at this point, the range is fairly wide, and we're trying to narrow that range down to give a better number.
Okay, And is there a relationship between the going back then to the 299.4 and the 670.3? Are those numbers already pretty, as far as we know now, firm, or is this 7 million part of the 7 million also going to go back and look at those projects?
The 299 was part of the original 10-year capital plan.
Right.
The 670 is part of the current capital plan. So the construction budget, or the size of the cost of construction, has already gone up because we know we don't need a rehab. We need a new conduit. So that price has gone up, and that $330,000 is actually part of the 670.
Okay.
And the $7 million is to provide additional AECOM services to help us continue to plan and develop and design these projects.
Okay. And AECOM has been a firm that we have been using and currently are using, or is – okay. And did we have to go out to get other quotes to do this, or is this just going to be an increase to AECOM?
We think for Moccasin Penstock, since the project is going to be so large, $330 million, when we get to finishing the conceptual engineering phase and we have an idea of what alternative we're going to bring forward into design, then that's going to be a huge chunk. If we had to design a tunnel, let's say, so we would have to re-advertise that as a brand new RFP. Okay. For a specialized tunnel consultant.
Great. Thank you.
I had a question about the two projects and how they, or if they, relate to each other. Would the Moccasin Penstock rehab project affect the design of the Moccasin Powerhouse bypass upgrade at all? If we choose a different approach, like a tunnel, to the Moccasin Penstocks, does that change what we need to do for the powerhouse bypass there?
Conceptually, the powerhouse bypass won't change, like the levels of service and things like that. It just may be the connection point. I don't have the graphic, but the graphic that shows the rendering where the very left side was the new system.
Right.
So, oh, thank you. So we see the connection point on the very left.
Mm-hmm.
That connection point may shift somewhere else depending on where the endpoint of the penstocks become. So the new penstock conduit may be coming from the right-hand side of the existing system, in which case we'd have to move the connection point.
And it looks like the powerhouse bypass upgrade will precede the penstock rehab.
Yes.
So theoretically, we could construct it and then have to change it if we change up the penstock.
So we would build the powerhouse bypass and put that in operation. Mm-hmm. And years later, when we create the penstock or conduit, wherever that alignment may be, we'll build most of it, and then we'll have a window of shutdown where we cut this piece and connect to the other piece.
So we could potentially do a change up the powerhouse bypass upgrade in the future.
Yes.
After we figure out what to do with the penstocks.
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense to hold off on the powerhouse bypass upgrade to figure out what we're doing on the penstocks.
No, the powerhouse bypass is at 95% design. We're pretty much there. We're ready to go. And to wait for the penstock project to catch up. Penstock project, we're trying to finish planning. So to wait for, a new RFP for a tunnel, to wait for that tunnel to be designed, for it to be constructed, it just way out in the future. And meanwhile, we're not able to maintain the powerhouse without continuing water delivery. Right now, when we maintain the powerhouse, we have to shut down water delivery. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you, AGM Robinson, again. Hearing your question, though, President Stacey, we would not be moving forward with anything that we would intentionally know we have to change construction later. But as Tedman explained, the sequence here, the need at the moment is for that bypass. So it's further in its design development, and we need to be proceeding. But the hope is by the time we now confirm what alternative we're selecting for the bypass, for the penstock solution for that project, we at least know the concept that we're now constructing to for the bypass. So we don't want to be doing anything and walk into a process where we need to change later. It's more about making that actual physical connection that he mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That help?
I think so. The penstock rehab is just looming large in my imagination.
Yes.
And Ms. Miller, maybe you have something to add.
Yes, Katie Miller, Director of Water Capital Programs. I just also wanted to add that we've got three more powerhouse projects, well, two more major projects at the powerhouse, and quite a bit of maintenance that needs to, additional maintenance needs to be performed on the switchyard mm-hmm. and other electrical components. So it's really critical that we get the bypass project in. And where they've located it, they're trying to have it at an ideal location for the tie-in of the penstock replacement project, wherever that ends up being. So I think it's far enough downstream, it really shouldn't have a significant cost impact.
I see, thank you. I had the impression from Mr. Lee that the powerhouse bypass was fairly pressing, but thank you for that clarification. Thanks. Let's take public comment.
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 10. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
And I missed that Vice President Arce had a comment or a question. Vice President Arce.
Thanks, President Stacey. And it was just... trying to recall from our tour of the system that the penstocks, those are the original penstocks from the very earliest days of the system, is that right?
All right, thank you. Yeah. Commissioners, could I have a motion in a second to approve this item?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Thank President Stacey?
Aye.
Vice President Arce?
Aye.
Commissioner Jamdar?
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni?
Aye.
The item passes.
Thank you.
Item 11, approve amendment number 1 to contract number PRO.0182, electrical engineering services for the Hetch Hetchy region with ACOM Technical Services Incorporated.
Good afternoon, President Stacey and Commissioners. My name is Kai Ngu. I'm the Electrical Engineering Section Manager of the Infrastructure Division. I'm here to seek approval for the Amendment Number 1 to Contract Number PRO-0182, Electrical Engineering Services for Hetch Hetchy Region with AECOM Technical Services, increasing the contract amount by $2.8 million and extending the contract duration by 1 year to continue providing the electrical engineering design and support services for Moccasin Powerhouse Rehabilitation Project and Moccasin Switchyard Rehabilitation Projects. I'll be happy to take any question. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, questions or comments? Nope. Vice President Arce.
Yes, thank you. I just caught myself reading on the second half of the description, switchyard substation powerhouses, and I just, in thinking back to, it makes sense to that we would come to replace the penstocks, whether any of this work kind of relates to that project.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Having the powerhouse shut down is very large, very mm-hmm. difficult, and very involved. And it also impact our primary objective of delivering water for us to do all the auxiliary maintenance. So having the bypass project in place eliminate a lot of our unnecessary shutdown and give the flexibility and tremendous cost saving to all the future construction project that is going to happen post bypass project completion.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Public comment, please.
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 11. Are there any members of the public present who wish to provide comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, could I have a motion and a second to approve item 11?
Motion to approve item 11.
Second.
Thank you.
President Stacey?
Aye.
Vice President Arce?
Aye.
Commissioner Jamdar?
Aye.
Commissioner Leveroni?
Aye.
The item passes. Item 12, communications. Item 13.
Commissioners, any comments or questions on communications? Nope. Thank you. Next item.
Item 13, items initiated by commissioners.
Commissioners, any items? Vice President Arce, I was just going to circle back to your question about BOSCA. And we typically have the BOSCA report as an informational report. But if we knew that there were issues coming before us, it is possible that we could add an action item to the agenda for commission action for communication to BOSCA. And I don't know if BOSCA had issues, they could let us know ahead of time through our through Ms. Lanier, and that if there was an action item that your board was requesting, we could put that on the calendar. I think that's what you were getting at before, and I'm sorry, I was just slow to think it through.
Within the context of items initiated by commissioners, if that's something to initiate, it seems to make sense. More than anything, I wanted to express to the organizations that represents two-thirds of our ratepayers just at the commission level, we hear you, thank you, and some sort of message that aligned with leadership. So whatever you think in terms of initiating as an item from commissioner, yeah. I'd follow your lead in that regard. That's just what I wanted to accomplish at that time.
Great. We'll focus on that, I think. Thank you. All right, seeing nothing further, I think it's time to adjourn the meeting. Oh, excuse me, public comment on the BOSCA items. Thank you, City Attorney.
Remote callers, please raise your hand if you wish to provide comment on item 13. Are there any members of the public present who wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, moderator, are there any callers who have their hand raised?
Ms. Lanier, there are no callers that wish to be recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will now adjourn the meeting.